generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
It's summer on the coast, and you know what that means. No, not more fog. It means Ruben is on vacation, and it's time for the Summer Mike Series. Here's your host for the Summer Mike Series, Crystalyn.
Good morning, Coastside. Thank you for joining us on this kind of drizzly Friday morning. I'm excited to be here with Melinda McNaughton and Laura Masco, and we are going to have a fun conversation about mindfulness and really bring this summer series to a close in a nice and calming, refreshing way. Good morning. How are you, Melinda?
I'm good. Thank you. I am excited to share this information with our community about my friend Laura, because she has just become certified in mindfulness. She's a certified mindfulness coach, and it's a science-based program that she has learned from. They researched and tested this program at Duke University, and it's in place at many universities for emerging adults. It's for teens and 20-somethings. And it's a really great program, and she's right here on the coast, and she's also offering free monthly mindfulness pop-ins. So if you are stressed and anxious and want to get a little control in your life, mindfulness is the way to go, and she's got this great science-based coursework that she's doing. Laura, do you want to tell us a little bit about your background and more about this, the coaching and the classes you offer and the free pop-ins on Mondays?
Yes, thank you so much, Melinda, and thank you, Crystalyn. It's such a pleasure to be here, and I'm so grateful to share this experience with everyone on the coast. I have been a high school educator for the past 26 years and started out my experience of training in the Peace Corps and came into teaching in Daly City to English language learners, and then started doing work with all students from 9th through 12th grade. And in those years, I then became a mentor to new teachers and had the opportunity to observe young people in classrooms over time. And as we all know, with the pandemic and then opportunities for cell phone use increased, and I started seeing less presence in the classroom and more challenge around that. And my curiosity grew and grew around that. And I started doing mindfulness and yoga work. I did a program called Breathe for Change 7 years back to be certified in yoga and mindfulness at that time in high school classrooms. And that was before the pandemic. So once the pandemic hit, there was some changes in how we could really get that going in person, obviously. And we got creative with things, but there was sort of a lull and has been in terms of mindfulness showing up for young people. And now I have a son who's 21, and I really just started thinking about his challenges, the anxiety that he's feeling at times in the unknowns of the current times. So I wound up picking up this book when I went to Spirit Rock looking for some ideas, and it blew me away. It's called The Mindful 20-Something by Holly Rogers, right. And it led me on this journey that I'm sharing with you today to teach mindfulness to emerging adults and support them.
Right. This is a really good book. So I took this coursework. She did a Tester Mommy's Mindfulness group with our group of friends, and it went really well, and she did an amazing job. And this book it's a very easy read. It's very for 20-somethings and anybody else. Mm-hmm. And it's really it's got some very interesting good tips, excellent ideas, simple ways to be mindful and to help calm your anxiety and calm your, the rushing river of thoughts. So what can you explain to us, first of all, what emerging adults are, and also that you would also be available for other aged people as well.
Yes, I just want to acknowledge. The first thing I asked is, as a 44-year-old,
yes.
am I allowed to work on this?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely, right?
Absolutely.
You do one-on-one mindfulness as well?
Yes. Okay. So I now have an Instagram, Mindfulness with Laura 2025.
Oh, yes. Yes,
and you can always give you my email address as well. It's my name, lauramasco@comcast.net. Uh-huh. And I work with all ages. I got curious
about
this.
It looks like we have a caller.
Oh, great.
Who do we have with us?
Google Business account.
Oh,
our system goes and research.
Spam call.
It's a bot.
But if anybody else would like to call in and not try to sell us Comcast services, 650-560-9851. All right, back to
Great.
It.
Yes. So, yes, I have been teaching mindfulness and yoga, like I said, since about 2018 in different areas. Started with high school and then expanded out. And now this I find really fascinating because this work for the Mindful 20-something that came from Holly Rogers and the training I went through around Mindfulness Institute for Emerging Adults is very exciting because right now we're discovering that this age range, we used to say young adult, but we're looking at the generation from 18 to 30 as emerging because we're in a society where it's taking a little time for people to find their footing after all the challenges we faced. And so it's the time of emergence for young people. And so this is pretty new data to sort of look at our young generation in that way and give key skills. So the thing is it reaches all ages because these skills have been distilled where many people may go to a mindfulness retreat or perhaps go to a yoga class or go try some meditation or hear about mindful work. Maybe you've heard of Jon Kabat-Zinn who started this many years ago. But I think what's really exciting about doing this work, whatever age you are, is you get to have 9 essential skills that have been taken from so many areas and research-based in college settings. So it's really if you want an introduction to what mindfulness is or a refresher, you get a full range that's been tried and tested. And that's where I think it's really exciting for any age because even though the target audience has been emerging adults, as we learned from our Mindful Mamas group and whatnot, we all benefited from having these skills be really taken and honed and distilled for us instead of trying to grasp for them from all different areas.
Right. And I want to just add in a note that mindfulness is not a religion because some people might tend to think it is.
Yeah. And I also want to just mention that it's very nice to hear that people are starting to think of younger adults as emerging adults versus young adults.
Yeah.
You know, that vernacular is going to be a little bit hard to shake off. But like when you at 44, the things that I know now, like I still feel like a young adult because I am only just now really, I would say in the last 10 years, figuring stuff out. And it feels like to think of a kid who goes from age zero to 18 is having enough life experience to be considered adult when if you think about the next 18 years would make them 36. That same chunk of time, it's like it's just a wild comparison. You know, obviously back in old timey days,
right?
You know, when the life expectancy was 45, 50.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Then yes, 18 was an adult because you were, you know, close to halfway there.
Right.
Now with our life expectancies, you know, ranging from 90 on up, depending on, you know, your genetics and all the other things, you know, 18 is a drop in the largest of buckets.
For sure. That's like a baby, right?
Yeah.
Compared to how long we live.
Yeah. Like at 44, I'm not even halfway there.
Yeah. Same here. I'm at 57 and I feel the same way.
Yeah. So it's very cool now that I'm seeing more and more things where it's like, mm-hmm. that kind of in-between era of 18 and a lot of things now are starting to cut off at 26 is kind of when they're thinking, you know, that you're entering adulthood.
Right.
Right. But it's a nice shift.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us, what is mindfulness or your personal definition or whatever the school teaches? Yeah.
That sounds great. I would love to start with Jon Kabat-Zinn's definition because okay. he is certainly the guru of mindfulness that we may all know, and we okay. hear about mindfulness stress-based reduction as the premise of much of the foundation of this work. Relies on a lot of his teachings, but mm-hmm. it also takes us to a place of looking at what emerging adults might be needing to hear and understand. So I'll start with Jon Kabat-Zinn's definition, Great. Which is that mindfulness is the awareness that arises from paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. So, and I really like to segue that to thinking about emerging adults and that idea of non-judgment nice. When we think of social media. Yeah. And, you know, so that's a very powerful buzzword there. Non-judgment, observation of self and surroundings, and present moment awareness. Two things I think that we all are striving towards more and more in our society.
Right.
With so much of our distractions with potentially with technology. Now, Holly Rogers takes it to another place, thinking of our young people a little bit more in this, and that in the Mindful 20-something book, she says that the act of paying attention to your present moment experience with an attitude of compassionate curiosity.
Mm, I like that.
Yeah, and so I really like compassionate curiosity because I think that embodies this non-judgment mixed with awareness, being curious in a way that's kind to yourself.
And just for those who are, you know, Ted Lasso fans, he phrases it as be curious, not judgmental, which is the exact same thing.
I love that. Yeah. That was a great show.
Yes.
I do have a quote here from the Dalai Lama,
yes.
which I thought was, it's in the book.
Yes.
I thought it was a really good quote. Each one of us is a visitor to this planet, a guest who has only a finite time to stay. What greater folly could there be than to spend this short time lonely, unhappy, and in conflict with our fellow visitors? Far better, surely, to use our short time in pursuing a meaningful life enriched by a sense of connection with and service towards others. Mm. I like how they combine that with service towards others.
Mm. Oh, and we kind of touched on that when we were chatting earlier about esteemable acts.
Mm.
And that so much of our what I have seen, I feel like our younger generations are suffering from lack of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. they're not really being asked or taught to do volunteer work unless their parents were like uber volunteers and then it's being mimicked for them. But yeah, getting these esteemable acts so that you feel really good about helping the people
right.
around you and that's what brings you joy.
Right.
I'd love to add to that and kind of jump forward to an experience I had this summer, if it's okay, Melinda,
sure,
because
yeah.
it rings true for me too, because I feel like I haven't done a lot of volunteer work, honestly, lately. I'm an educator and I serve, and that's a very strong value of mine. However, to actually do more than what's required of me or for my job, that, you know, mm-hmm. something I haven't given myself to, until this summer. I had an opportunity to see that play out, Crystal, and where I was able to, for this program, to be certified in the mindful, experience of this training. So for this, Institute is called the Mindful Institute for Emerging Adults. So it'll be also termed as MIA. One of the requirements was to have a retreat. So I took myself all the way to Scotland to a place called the Holy Isle, which is founded by Yama Yishi, who's a Tibetan monk, but it also is founded by the Rokpa Trust, which is and the term means service. And so what we have requirements within the meditation retreat, it was a retreat for mindfulness from the Mindfulness Association, which is based in the UK. And we had a requirement within the 6-day retreat that we were at to spend an hour in service. And we would do whatever jobs we were expected of. I did some weeding, I did some cleaning, and all of us were just reveling in how amazed we were at how good it felt. I mean, I was cleaning toilets for a week, and I loved doing it. And wow. I can't say the same for home, but there was something about this is a place where we're all here to take care of each other and the land that we're on, and it just felt so good to give back. And it was just 1 hour in the journey of our retreat. But
amazing.
It just really was amazing. And it did build confidence. Mm-hmm. It was like, this is for everyone. And I wanted it to be so clean, you know.
Yeah.
So
that
made me think of that experience.
I kind of am thinking that, you know, as humans, it's probably built into our nature originally to be of service to each other as a community, because it only helps us survive, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's what part of makes us feel good now, because it's there for a reason, built into our DNA.
That's right.
Yeah, and it's one of those, you know, back a couple years ago, you know, when the five love languages kind of were emerging, and one of those, that's acts of service. It's interesting how many people, when you do it, you realize that acts of service is your love language, either receiving and or giving. Mm. And so I think for people where that is their love language, it's even more important to get out there and do things, even and volunteer and find those local organizations. And then something that just bringing a little bit back to the younger, mm-hmm. one of my recommendations is always when people are trying to say, well, how do I figure out what kind of job I want? Volunteer. Volunteer mm-hmm. for any of the nonprofit organizations, because you will learn skills that you get to test them out for a short time and realize what brings you contentment. And then at the same time, you're helping people and all of that.
Sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you just had a radio show on volunteers.
Yeah.
And we have so many organizations on this coast that we can volunteer for.
I think we're up to 73.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So why should we do meditation is the question. And especially for 20 somethings, what do you think about that? Your thoughts?
Yeah, so thinking about mindfulness is such an all-encompassing word, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And so, and then we say meditation. So I think that it's not that they're set apart, they're connected, but mindfulness is the journey, and I feel like the meditation is the skill within that journey that gets us into a mindful experience in life.
That makes sense.
It could be on the micro experience of the daily world that we're in, where we've meditated for potentially just 5 minutes, 10 minutes. In fact, with the program, the goal when you do the 4-week course with me, or any Mindfulness Institute for Emerging Adults, MIA trainer, you will actually see benefits if you meditate for 10 minutes per day for a month. That is where you're going to really see profound impact. So if we think of it that way, and then we think, okay, just to meditate, even if it's just 3 minutes where you've closed your eyes, you take some deep breaths before you move out in your day, mm-hmm. it could make the difference in how you're driving. It could make the difference in how you're present for your friend who shows up. It could be a moment at work that you're able to focus on something and attune to. So why do it is to connect back to self, to connect back to what's around you, to understand and see what's happening around you. Sometimes we're moving through time and space and we're not connected to what's around us.
Right.
And it just helps you tune into connecting with others. I think a lot of us have experienced a great deal of isolation in these times, and the opportunity seems so ironic to go do the inner work, to go into yourself, actually allows you to be
more present
for
others.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I think that's one of the best benefits, because then it leads to the desire for acts of service. It leads to the desire to help others. But if we don't do that inner work, sometimes we're not really genuinely present even in a given day for anyone, because we're so distracted by all the other things we're not really able to.
Can I ask you a question about that? As somebody who loves the thought of meditation, but but it seems like a very scary endeavor in that, as somebody who has ADHD and whose brain never shuts off, I mean, the second I have to listen to podcasts and TV and things just to even quiet my brain enough to attempt to go to sleep, and then the second that I wake up, my brain is already, you know, 700 miles down the road of my day and the tasks and the this and that. How how can someone like myself, who meditation sounds like a very difficult endeavor to quiet the mind, like how can we approach it?
Great question. Well, I think that there's one thing that stands out from what you're saying is a term that's used in the Mindful 20-something book that accompanies the four-week course for MIA, for the Mindfulness Institute for Emerging Adults, is the idea of acceptance and the idea of our thoughts are like a river, a rushing river of thought. So what mindfulness, and particularly these nine skills that you do within this program, allow you to observe non-judgmentally, with kindness and curiosity, those thoughts and not try to stop them. Just acknowledge them, and it's like clouds passing or the rushing river of thought going by, and just seeing it. And it's more of that curiosity, like, my mind's racing a million miles a minute. Okay. And if you think of a rushing river and imagine yourself trying to pull yourself up on the bank and just observing it, when you're separating yourself from those thoughts and just observing them, you don't have to entertain them. You don't have to get into them. You just witness.
So that's probably the first time in my whole life that I've ever heard of meditation not trying to make your mind thoughtful, thoughtless, and blank, which that's the part that seems...
That is challenging.
Unattainable.
Yes,
to
exactly.
The ADHD brain.
Yeah.
I understand. And it could be the very thing that keeps you from trying it, because like, oh no, I can't stop my thoughts, they're just going to keep going, right? Like,
oh, so absolutely.
So it's great to clarify that, yeah, to meditate, to be mindful, does not require you to stop anything. It's actually to not judge yourself for the fact that we're all there. And it's funny, because I have moments in my retreat where I had a lovely friend, Fiona, who I witnessed her meditating for, we did a sit for an hour and a half at one point. We were very proud of ourselves, that was a big deal. It took some time to get there.
Yes.
And that's not, you know, something I've ever accomplished before. Not that it's necessarily an accomplishment, but I was witnessing her and thinking, she's amazing. She's doing it. But I'm thinking and I'm looking around, you know, I'm having a moment where I'm not really in my meditative state.
Being present. Yeah.
But then, you know, we talked about it after. She's like, you don't know what all the things I was thinking. And, you know, so it's a process. And being patient and kind to ourselves, it's amazing that eventually you get there. And it happens very quickly. And the science, the research shows that the brain can change so quickly. The opportunity can really make an impact, just to give yourself that opportunity and let yourself witness it.
Yeah.
Witness those things.
Yeah. I love that in the coursework we did talk about the rushing river of thoughts.
Yeah.
And that was the tricky thing, to pull yourself out of that river and non-judgmentally observe the thoughts and be like, oh, and then the labeling the thoughts.
Yes.
Like, oh, I am stressing. I am planning.
Yes.
And what are some of the other labels that are common?
Yeah, so we have, there's two different opportunities with the skills. One is labeling thoughts and one is labeling feelings.
Mm.
And you can do both, but really it's nice to kind of focus in. So you can be labeling sort of a theme sometimes, like worrying.
Know,
or it could be something like, bored, you know, like, it's amazing. You kind of have to let yourself get to understanding what's happening before you can calm the nervous system.
Yeah.
So you really do have to just let yourself have these thoughts, but at the same time, bear witness, no judgment.
And I think the part that really helps is just taking it little time at just a couple minutes at a time of practice, and then working your way into longer. Because if you try to go long, then it's frustrating.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you for making it sound more attainable. Because I'm sure a lot of people out there, you know, hear the kind of common words of mindfulness and meditation and are immediately put off because they have their own conceptions of what that means.
Sure.
And like most concepts, it evolves over time. And it might have started as you know, a phrase used by a particular group in the 70s, and then it kind of gets adopted and used in a different way in the 80s and then the 90s. And so it's interesting, and I would hope that people will hear you and take the time to see how it fits for them and know that it's not quite the same exact language that they might associate with it from the days of older times when, you know, people just kind of threw that around and it was a little bit more, I'm just going to say, like, woo-woo, but, you know, people would put a negative connotation on, like,
right,
woo-woo. And it really is important that people start taking time to reflect. Mm-hmm. It is a lost art.
That's for sure.
I agree. Yeah. And thank you so much for coming in. And if anybody, we're going to take a break in just a couple of minutes, but if anybody wants to call in and you know, maybe tell us a little something about a wonderful experience that they had, or if mindfulness and meditation has changed their kind of thought processes or brought them in on themselves, please feel free to call in 650-560-9851. And when we get back, I kind of am excited to dive into a little bit more on the conversation about the emerging adult side of it. And because I have young sisters, I have a 22-ish and 25-ish year old sisters, and the things being 20 years apart from your siblings is already an interesting dynamic. But the things that I witnessed from them that I can compare to when I grew up, it's such a different time, and there's so much more expected from them that we had the joys of no phones and our parents just taking it for, you know, on our honor that we're going to come back at 10 o'clock and those types of things and the problem solving skills. So I'm looking forward to taking that discussion when we come back.
Sounds good. And I wanted to talk about acceptance.
Yes.
In the meditation too, as a meditation tool.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side. 100.9 KHMB. Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
This is Jay Michaels. Make sure to join me along with Stan Warren Luttrell after Coastal Windage. We'll get a look at today in history and a brand new forgotten find. Coming up at 10 a.m. from 100.9 FM KHMB.
And we're back. So again, if you want to call in and get in on this awesome conversation, 650-560-9851. And Melinda, you were talking about acceptance.
Oh, yeah. Just talking about one of the tools, like there's the rushing river and pulling yourself and observing your thoughts, and then the idea of acceptance as a tool in meditation. And what it says in the book, I just really resonate with. It's acceptance is not liking what you're thinking about. It's not agreeing with what you're thinking about. And it is not a passive resignation or a decision. It's just being in the moment with it and accepting it, what it is for it is. And, like, you go ahead and expand on that if you would like, yeah.
I'd love to. I think that that was the, if I think of one theme that resonated for me in my experience in getting to do my retreat in Scotland, as well as all of the opportunity I got to do the course with some 20-somethings in the summer, and it also showed up in Mindful Mamas. I did three courses before heading off to this retreat. And the theme that stood out was this piece on acceptance. For the young generation that I worked with and that I hear from, this is the hardest part. Acceptance doesn't have to mean that you like the situation. So we could talk about it as you're the individual doing the inner work for a moment in time where you're trying to breathe and you're just struggling with a particular thing. And you don't want to accept that it's like that, right? But the beauty about acceptance is that it decreases suffering. We increase our suffering by being so frustrated by something not going the way we'd like it to go. And the power of doing this mindful work is that you come to terms with accepting what is, and then thinking, and this came from my teacher in Scotland, Vin, it really stood out to me, is then you say, well, what can I do? So you walk out of your meditative state and you think, okay, over time you actually accept these challenging things in our lives. And now what is that thing you can do? And it could be a very small thing, but it's powerful to feel like you can move forward. And I can't tell you how many times this came up for me with just different challenges of life. And when I really just used that word, I came back to it, just accept it, Laura, you know. Yeah. And I'd love to just share a point in the book that Holly Rogers shares, is that you can't avoid pain, but you can avoid amplifying it into the higher levels of suffering to cultivate acceptance. So I like that idea of cultivating acceptance. It's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a skill. And it doesn't come overnight, but it's very empowering. I saw the young people that worked on this, and there's tools around acceptance, and there's a lot within the book that really gives you guidance around it. It's not easy.
Right. It's almost like you're choosing how you will react to something, or you're choosing how you will be thinking about something, as opposed to kind of letting it make you frustrated and angry and, you know, spinning out in the
right
moment.
I mean, it's seeing it as it is in this present moment. It's really just seeing it, mm-hmm. instead of getting in the tangles of the emotional content of wanting mm-hmm. to react to it. So, you know, for instance, some of the young people are like, I don't want to accept that things are the way they are. I worrying about the environment, worrying about all these things in the world. They thought that means resignation. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to accept that it's like this. I want it better, right? But that we will not get to action without just accepting it is like this. So what can we do? And so I think that's a really powerful tool to keep coming back to. And it can help in those moments of, if you're having a lot of rushing river of thought, you can actually notice that this is what you might be caught up in, is not accepting a certain thing.
And right, some people absolutely. Might recognize mm-hmm. that as what we call living rent-free in your head. Mm. And sometimes it's not a situation, it's a person. Sure. So I know there's some, like for myself, there's, I can accept almost any situation and flow through it. But I have a very hard time accepting people who do not things in my surroundings that are not great. So it's whether they let a project drop and I can't figure out why they let, like, why? Everything mm-hmm. was there. Why did you let it drop? Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting that you mentioned that. And you know, sometimes somebody says something and it resonates and you're like, oh, I've been stewing. Like, there's somebody who's been making my work life miserable for the last year because I have such a hard time accepting why they are the way they are.
Mm.
And so it's like, this reminds me, like, I need to stop letting, and I know I need to stop letting this person live rent free in my head, but it's so difficult because I don't understand mm-hmm. and I can't figure out a way to make myself understand. So then I have a hard time accepting this person for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, so it can come in lots of different forms.
Definitely. And that's where you were saying that meditation feels hard because you already are labeling it's going to be a lot of thinking, right?
Yeah.
So it's same with acceptance. It's like, why is this person this way? But if you accept that, it can change things.
And I think we hopefully have a real caller.
System shows a new search for your business.
No, apparently this line has gotten out to the has ended up on somebody's robocall list.
Yep,
happens to all of us, right?
Yep. Wow. So you wanted to talk about how? Go ahead. It relates to the younger generation.
Yeah. So cool that you know they're really taking the time to kind of understand how to get emerging adults. I'm gonna master this term by the end. Because as I mentioned, my sisters are right in this wheelhouse. And the things that they have had to deal with you know, so at 44, I got to grow into computers, right? Like, I was at my high school when we got our first computer lab, and it wasn't, you know, we didn't, we hand wrote our reports and right. all of these things, and did not have smartphones until I was already out of school. And so for them, they have had this barrage of technology with them this whole time. And they, I can see where their skills that they're not learning or taking in because they're so used to having a smartphone in their hand. And so then when technology fails, they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to deal with their emotions. They don't know how to deal with real world scenarios. Problem solving is much more difficult. And, you know, they work on it and, but they also don't know what they don't know. They don't Exactly. know that they're lacking in these skills because they've had all of these things kind of in their way of their personal inner growth. And it's, so it's very interesting in this topic that you really try to work with that. And you mentioned that you were seeing a lot of this in the high school classrooms and things. And so what made you, you know, really into this and then...
Yeah.
And then how did they gear it towards the kids?
That's a great question. So, yes, yeah, so, you know, I have a son who's 21, and I find he always inspires me to on the path of what I'm interested in learning. And I feel like this course is exciting, as it was for Mindful Mamas as well, because it's given me a framework that I can relay and understand. It's almost like doing this first myself helped me understand what maybe an emerging adult needs. And how I shifted to from, because I am still in the high school setting, but I coach new teachers. Most of my new teachers are also in this generation. So it's just, it makes a lot of sense. I'm just right there seeing, but I also care very much for the younger students. We say 18 to 30, and my world of education has been in the younger, from 9th to 12th grade. I think that by moving forward, it helps me see what can be done. You know, the world is changing so fast. Every year, so much changes. And so I feel like by focusing in on this, and this is the only program that exists of this kind where it's focused on the emerging adult, it helps me backtrack and look back to see what high school students, where the entry points would be. Mm-hmm. And then by helping new teachers, I can actually relay these skills so they embody, because it always starts with us. So if we have the skills, then it can be imparted upon others. But if we don't have the skills ourselves, it's hard right. to relay that to, especially even younger people when we go back to young teens, right?
Yeah.
So, right. So I think that, of course, technology has had done a huge number on our minds and hearts and our ability to be present. This mindfulness definitions here that we shared, is mm-hmm. this is the hardest work for people right now, I believe, for all of us, by using so much of technology, but particularly our emerging adults. Just being able to be present and experience. And I think the thing is that a lot of the experiences you have from doing this course will allow you to put the darn phone down for a while. Like, it actually opens up the opportunity. It opens up the channels to say, hey, can I create more space for myself? Because it feels really good to have it.
It feels like it would help with their self-confidence, because Crystal and you were mentioning yeah. earlier, and I didn't even think about the self-confidence yeah. damage that technology has on them. If they're relying on just this one information source and then all of a sudden they don't have it, you know, and then it affects their, you know, fear, and it can help improve anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then the things that the book says, important points about mindfulness that you can gain with it, is a new perspective, mm-hmm. And non-judgment, and an observing mind, and insights. So mm-hmm. I just thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And something else that we touched on too, was that mindfulness, you could do you want to, and you should do the work on yourself. And also, it helps you be mindful about other people. So, touching on what you were just saying, because I find in my work life, people forget that I'm on the other end of the phone, and they will contact me or start conversations with me when I'm trying to decompress, when I'm trying to take right. my days off. So it's like, to the best of my ability, which is not often, but to the best of my ability, my work schedule is Monday through Friday. And I want to take Saturday and Sunday off and spend it with my fiance and my friends, and we go do fun things. And the amount that I get text messaged, because I have my email alerts off, so I'm not looking at that. But I can't turn text messages off because I need to hear from my family or, you know, friends or whatever. And people will not take into account that I need to decompress, and they will text me work things at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Right.
And it's because it's what's top of their mind. And so, first of all, for those people, I hope you're not thinking about work at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, if that happens to be your day off. But also, please take into account who's on the other side of that ping.
Right.
Because texting somebody puts them in a... It shifts. I can't look at a text message about work 7 a.m. Sunday morning and not immediately start thinking about work, regardless of whether or not I get back to you or not.
Right.
I am now thinking about work for the next 2.5 hours.
Right.
And it's... So there's mindfulness on both sides.
Definitely. Yeah. And technology tends to be addictive, and people just can't seem to get off of it, you know? Yeah.
The ability to when you create the space for yourself, and what I should mention, if you choose to do the 4-week course, whether you're a young emerging adult or a seasoned adult or whatever age you are, the 4-week course also includes an app that kind of gives you opportunities for here. So even if you wanted to practice a skill that was given in course, you can keep practicing with the app. But point is that by creating that space, I'm going to do my mindfulness practice today. If you did the 4-week course, I'm required to do 10 minutes a day. That already, it's just about that little step, because once you create 10 minutes a day for yourself, once you see the benefits and start to see how that gives you, then you create that for more and more and more, to the point that you may very well be more mindful about texting somebody when it is their work day off, or just dumping some feelings out on a text to a friend because you're just feeling it in that moment, but maybe they're not ready to receive that. Maybe a phone call, or maybe a moment together over coffee would be better. It's a lot of micro shifts that start to happen by choosing to do the mindfulness work yourself.
Absolutely.
So it really, it's an amazing impact. It really is about this connection with each other.
Right.
So, yeah, it's this inner work, but it's outer, because we're all going to benefit.
And it can help.
By the choices we make.
Maybe reduce use of technology and addiction, maybe. I don't know, depending on, I don't know, the person.
Sure, but, because, I mean, it's really about some boundary setting, too.
Yes.
Because, you know, what you were saying, it's like we need some understanding of what our own boundaries are, but we won't know that unless we take time with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing I don't think we're doing enough in life. We're just moving forward, thinking, I better get that message out to that person because it's on my mind in this moment. But that doesn't mean they're in the right place to receive it. So it's mindfulness comes from that pause, giving it to yourself first.
Yeah, and that's how I ended up I stopped wearing my Apple Watch. Was specifically because there was no amount of trying to get the alerts to, you know, you would silence notifications, but it just was too much. It was too easy to look at my wrist and get distracted into whatever things might be happening on the other end of that. And then it would take me out of the moment and I couldn't. So I just had to stop.
And you lose the time with your family and friends on the weekend. You have to spend time doing work, and then your time is shot, or you're like an hour or two.
Or even just the vibe, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm on the weekend and I'm trying to spend time with, I got to come up with a new name, because he was best boyfriend Jesse, but now he's fiancé Jesse, but that's just not a cute a rhyme. But, you know, he'll constantly kind of look at me, and we'll just be like, you know, maybe watching a football game or whatever. And then he'll look and he'll be like, what's wrong? And I'm like, oh, no, sorry. Just, you know, in my head, I'm working on a work thing.
Oh,
you know, whether it's like sorting something out or whatnot. And so it's like I can't even be, or it gets very difficult to be present with him. Just hangout mode. If I'm just constantly getting distracted. So, yeah, so I have started to shed. I was very proud of myself last night. I met up with a friend, and I left my phone in the car for an hour and a half.
On purpose?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't get distracted if it's just 27 feet away from me and I can't see it or hear it.
That's a good step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we had a wonderful conversation and time together that would have otherwise been interrupted because, of course, when I walked back to my phone, there was 27 dings.
Wow. Well, speaking of technology, there is, funnily enough, an app that goes with this, with the meditation.
Not all technology is bad,
Oh, yeah. Yes. So many tools in our toolkit, but you just have to discern when and how and why we're using them, right?
Yeah. Tell us about this app. What is it? What's on it? What does it look like? And how do the kids interact? Gen Z.
Yeah.
It's good for Gen Z, I imagine, because they're so used to being involved with technology constantly to have a meditation app.
So this program over time built in the app based on college student feedback. This was all tried and tested at Duke University, and of course the students told these wise teachers, we need an app for this. And but what's nice is there's flexibility with that, because I certainly encourage that putting down of the phone piece, but the opportunity to practice with 9 skills that you get to listen and hear over and over again, potentially. And this app is for life. So once you have the app, you can use it for the rest of your life. So if that becomes your mindfulness practice, then what a beautiful thing. So I think it's really beneficial.
There's no monthly fee on the app, right?
There's no monthly fee. There's one flat fee, but it's covered within
the coursework.
And you also get the book. And that's also a wonderful resource. But really, it's just a great way to keep the practice up and also a communication with myself. So when you're in the course, there's logs that you can complete about how it's going, questions you might have, things you might be struggling with. So within the 9 skills, there's a range, and they're chosen from a wide range of disciplines in terms of varieties of meditation. And so some students struggled with certain aspects of the work. One is dynamic breathing. It's very physical. It actually activates energy. So some of the skills aren't just about calming. Maybe right before a test, right before an interview, dynamic breathing can be very powerful. But some students had questions around this. I feel silly because you have to do some pumping with the arms and it feels kind of silly.
Oh my gosh.
And
so I have to say something about that. Yeah. So when we did the mama's class, Laura was so great because this particular meditation tool, it's hilarious looking because you're standing up and you're pumping your arms and you look like a chicken and you're doing this crazy deep breathing things, like pushing the air out really fast. And she was so kind, and she said, I will leave my camera on and show you how to do it, and you guys can all turn your cameras off so none of us were embarrassed.
That's really
a funny one.
It is.
And it's good to do that, like to have the kids turn their, because, kids get so self-conscious. I should say kids. Gen Z get so self-conscious sometimes. So, yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
This is another skill people could learn. Get silly with it.
Yeah.
My best thing for getting over stage fright was when I took my sign language classes. Mm. Because sign language is such a physical language. And, sometimes when you need to show something and put it in the right context, you have to do some very silly movements.
That's probably true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
I feel like that's another thing that, generations could focus on is get silly with it and just be okay with it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and then once they practice it on their own, maybe they could go on the video screen.
Right, and that's what's nice with the app, because a lot of times they could tell me personally, like, I'm not really feeling comfortable with that, and then we could, what would make you comfortable? And then we talk about it. So that's what's really nice about the opportunity for all these modalities within the mindful course, because I feel like you're not always able to experience it one time and then know what to do for yourself. But when you have this app, you can go back. Well, let me try the dynamic breathing, because I really am worried about this interview, and it would be nice to give myself this
sense of calm, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's like everything. It takes practice.
Yes.
Yeah. And then working at it, I love the working at it bit by bit, just small portions of time, like 2 minutes, 3 minutes a day
kind of thing.
And then just increasing it if you're ready. Yeah.
One of my meditation teachers years ago always would say, it's a practice, not a perfect, which I like.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So how much time do we have left?
We have 8 minutes.
Okay. So I wanted to just talk about the embracing the moment kind of thing, mm-hmm. where finding a place, you do some self-guided imagery, mm-hmm. Or guided imagery in the class, or we have to find a place to go that's calming or peaceful. And what do you do for that, to kind of find some peace when you meditate? Something that, an area or a place that just brings you calm and relaxation?
Great question. Well, we live in such a beautiful place here on the coast, and Melinda and I go way back. We raised our kids together on the coast, but we also work together in El Granada Advocates for protecting our beautiful El Granada resources. And one of the places I find, I live in El Granada, and I have the gorgeous eucalyptus trees in the medians right across from me. And when the wind comes through, that sound that those trees make alongside with the sound of the ocean, it's almost like ready for me to just go into that peaceful place. I'm there. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the beauty, is we live in a place where nature will provide the opportunity. So if I have a small house, very small, so it's for me to get my meditative space and find that happy place in many ways means my taking a walk to the beach or just sitting outside and listening to the wind through the trees. So I encourage just taking in nature, putting that phone down, taking a walk and sitting somewhere and taking deep breaths. That will be speak leaps and bounds. So we're so fortunate because we don't live in a concrete jungle here. We have this beautiful environment that we can benefit.
That we can go to.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I also think taking some of the fear out of the spaces, because there's a lot of fear about fire and eucalyptus trees. And I think just kind of embracing the moment when you get out there and, you know, think to yourself, okay, there's no fire going on right now in the trees, and there may never be. Mm-hmm. So just kind of take it moment by moment and enjoy what we have. And there's a lot of wildlife out there, too, that actually inhabits those trees and those spaces. So, and enjoy it.
Exactly. I feel like that's going to take, you know, just giving ourselves that moment is very powerful in itself. Just stepping out into this beautiful world we live in right here on the coast.
And is it okay if I mentioned, now for me personally, that would not be my space, because quiet is actually very, very hard for me.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
My favorite sound in the whole wide world is an F1 car engine.
Really?
So I have found, but I actually found this fairly recently, that if I put on this, just put on a race, mm-hmm. and just the kind of hypnotic sounds of the F1 cars racing is what actually is the sound that makes my brain a little bit more quiet.
Wow.
And because I love racing so much, literally brings me absolute joy. And then I start beaming from the inside.
Oh.
But I just want to put out there that if, where I think nature is, it is going to be that thing for a lot of people.
Sure.
There's going to be some people who are a little bit more like me where
absolutely.
Car engines.
Thank you for sharing that.
And I think bringing up that car engine noise is really interesting because it brings me to, like, white noise.
Yeah.
Because I like the pounding sound of the ocean waves. And also grew up in an area where there are lots of airplanes going over. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of calming. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I also grew up a little bit on a farm. And so the sound of chickens clucking all the time is calming for me. So it's like everybody, to each his own.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, in terms of what you're asking about the guided imagery, that's mm-hmm. one of the skills out of the 9 skills that we cover. And mm-hmm. that is not always about going to the place. It's actually mm-hmm. about creating it inside. So what's nice is you get an opportunity with that skill is mm-hmm. to find it inside of you.
Yeah.
So even if you're not hearing those F1s or you're not hearing those ocean waves, you're actually making it happen inside of your own mind, which is a powerful tool. I think we don't tap into our imagination enough in these times as well. And that's a very powerful opportunity just to create your happy place inside your mind.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to say? Because we have just a couple minutes left about maybe your address at Instagram, your email, anything else about your coursework?
I would love to share. So, yes, so my email, if you'd like to reach out to me, I'm open to one-on-one group mindfulness, but you can always reach me in my email, which is my name, Laura Masko, LauraMasko at Comcast.net. Again, I have a bare bones, but I'm getting there because I am not a Gen Z, but I have people who can consult with me around my new opportunity to communicate through Instagram with the Mindfulness with Laura 2025. And then you can always reach me on my cell phone as well. I'll give you that. It's just 415-971-4998. And as I mentioned, I'll have Mindful Monday drop-ins the first Monday of every month at 7:30 p.m.
For free.
For free. That's for anyone. And that'll give you a little sample. And also, I'm willing to stay for the full hours to talk with you afterwards so we can spend some time together. I'm also entertaining some mindfulness time on the beach, just getting out there. So once we get a little group going, and then I'll start on the four-week course in January so we can start with the new year fresh. I already have the dates and everything ready, so I'm ready for you when you're ready for that. And just very excited to share and so grateful to have this opportunity to share this with our COSI people. And thank you for giving me this time here.
Thank you. And on Mindful Mondays, where is that?
So that's via Google Meet.
Oh, cool.
And I have the link in my Instagram.
Awesome.
And I'm happy to share that with anyone. And it can be anyone in and out of the coast, any age group. When you feel ready, every Monday, first Monday of the month, I'll be there ready for you.
Yeah, and it was easy. I just went to her Instagram page and I clicked on it, and it immediately opened a space for there to be a video. But yes, it's not going to be there till of the day and the time. So
that's right.
Super easy.
Yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for coming in and having such a wonderful, calming subject as the exit to our summer series. I think this was a fabulous way to cap off. And thank you again. And I really hope people take you up on those Mindful Mondays and really getting into this, because as somebody who's working with a lot of people on the coast, there's a lot of room for, you know, self-reflection and thought and really just trying to de-stress our lives.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us, Crystalline.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for Ruben, too.
And for Ruben.
Setting everything up. That was
thanks,
so exciting.
Ruben. Thanks, Ruben.
Thank you.
Yeah. So excited to have him back. So please tune in next Friday for Catching Up with Ruben and Crystalline.
Woo!
Awesome.